Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is a marvelous scholar. David Dockery is a PhD from the University of Texas. He serves as president of the International Alliance for Christian Education and distinguished professor of theology at Southwestern Seminary, where he also serves as editor of the Southwestern Journal of Theology. He previously served as president of Union University, and before that, at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Illinois. I came across this man back when he was at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. Even though I didn't go to school there, I have had the utmost appreciation and respect for that school and subsequently for Union, and I appreciate very much what Dr. Dockery has done in place after place where God has used him to speak truth and to live the truth. Dr. Dockery, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation and the privilege to be with you. I appreciate your ministry and look forward to this conversation together.
Great. You have a new book.
We have put together a book called Created in the Image of God, Implications and Applications for Our Cultural Confusion. It's something that we worked on in conjunction with the International Alliance for Christian Education and a group called Stand for Life that is led by Lauren McAfee. And we hosted a conference here in Fort Worth, Texas in the spring of 2022 on this topic that was well received and created a great deal of energy and attention in key circles. And out of that came this idea that we should publish some of those pieces that came out of that conference. And we were able to do that. And this book is releasing now, early August. And I think it's going to be a work that can serve a variety of audiences and help people understand the importance of this particular neglected doctrine.
Amen.
And what it means for us today.
Yes. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament is in Mark's gospel when they sent some of the, Jesus' enemies sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the word of God in accordance with the truth." That was the flattery. Then the trick question, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we or shouldn't we? But Jesus knew their hypocrisy, it says. "Why are you trying to trap me?" he asked. "Bring me a denarius and let me look at it." They brought the coin, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And they were amazed at him. Now, the reason for that, Dr. Dockery, you know well, but I want to be sure our listeners do, and that is the Jews knew that in the earliest part of the Scriptures, man was created in the image of God. And then it's emphasized again, in the image of God, he created them. So this essential doctrine is foundational to our understanding of life and our understanding of God. And it is, as you said, a very neglected doctrine. It's not something that everybody is keeping in mind, or we wouldn't have some of the problems we do.
Yes, it is. You know, it's foundational. It's right there. You can't read the Genesis account without seeing how central it is to the creation of humanity.
Amen.
Male and female.
Yes.
Created in his image.
Yes.
But then, you know, it's addressed again in a few chapters later in Genesis, in dealing with some post-flood issues.
Mm-hmm.
You should not take someone's life because they are created in the image of God. And then the book of James says you should not curse someone because they are created in the image of God. If you're cursing them, you're actually cursing the image of God within them.
Yes.
And but so you have these key passages, but people who are looking for chapter and verse every book of the Bible, you know, it is there more by implication than it is by specification.
Yes.
You cannot understand, you know, the teaching and relationships and even the laws of protection related to humanity without understanding this important doctrine. And then, you know, you look at the doctrines that we've said shape and define Christianity through history, the Apostles' mm-hmm. Creed, the Nicene Creed, they don't mention this doctrine. So, you know, maybe we need to go back and rewrite some of our confessional statements and give it a little more emphasis. But I think it is neglected, and therefore it's the reason we're trying to bring it back into the conversation.
Amen. Well, and part of that, when it says created in the image of God, is that first word, created.
Right.
People need to understand that we are not these autonomous creatures who just sort of brought ourselves into being. We have a creator. And
Amen.
When that doctrine, the doctrine of creation, is overlooked or rejected, then life doesn't make sense.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, a part of the grand design,
mm-hmm.
In God's plan
yeah.
is that we as his vice regents on this earth are, you know, we represent him. It does not mean that we look like him. To be in his image is not a physical image,
right.
But it is, you know, it is who we are.
Yes.
You know, the fact that we have rationality, morality, personality, and that we have spirituality, we mm-hmm. can relate to God
mm-hmm.
is all tied into this, and our dignity and identity as people, kind of some buzzwords of today,
mm-hmm.
talk a lot about identity, and but you know we really can't understand identity at all,
right?
Until we understand that we're created in God's image.
Yes, and so on the one hand, it gives us, if we understand this doctrine, it gives us a positive sense of our worth and the worth of others, including our enemies, but it also gives us humility because we know that we are created in the image of God. If I have to face up to the fact that there is a God who created me, then there is a God to whom I'm accountable. I'm not on my own to set my own rules and decide for myself what is my truth. God is the one who is the source of life, and God is the one that we go to know the truth.
Yes, exactly. You know, I think some of the concern, I guess, some of the questions people have is, you know, where do I find the image of God within me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's my hand, here's my arm, here are my fingers,
right.
Here's my leg. And so where do I find the image of God?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not that there is a piece within us.
Right.
It's not here's the heart, here's the lungs, and here's the image.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that all of us, every aspect of it, there's nothing in us that is separable, distinct, or discoverable
mm-hmm.
as the divine image. Every person individually, and really the entire human race corporately.
Yes.
Are the image of God.
Yes. And part of how we treat other people is drawn from that understanding, because even someone who is an unbeliever, even someone who is an ardent atheist and attacking the faith and blaspheming God and they still are image bearers, and they still, with their creativity, their ability to think, to speak, even when thinking themselves wise, they became fools, the glory of God still comes through that broken person if we look to see it, if we can see beyond. I would never have wanted the Apostle Paul to get saved when he was Saul of Tarsus going around persecuting my family. But God saw beyond the sin and the evil, and God saw the plans that he had for that man who was going to reflect his glory in a magnificent way. Can you talk about some of the ways in our culture where we see the confusion over the issues of human dignity and what it means to be made in God's likeness?
You know, I think, you know, the big buzzword of today, artificial intelligence and issues of transhumanism, that's one where we have to realize some of the questions related to artificial intelligence and transhumanism is asking the prior question, what does it mean to be human?
Yes.
And so that, starting with that foundational question, this particular doctrine, being created in the image of God, is at the center of what it means to be human. That's what separates us from things that are artificial or created, technology. It's what separates us from animals. It's what separates us from vegetation. We are different and distinct. And so, you know, there is a hierarchy in God's design. And everything that he created us as theocentric people. We are designed to worship him, to adore him, to relate to him. That's part of who we are, what Pascal called, you know, that empty vacuum that needs to be filled within us. But everything else is designed to relate to humans.
Yes.
And so that it serves us, and there's a distinction between them. And so we muddle humanity and technology. We want to bring the two together. We want to think that animals are on the same level, same plane as humans, or we can eat certain things or not eat certain things. You know, it's, all of this confusion is tied there. So that would be one area, I think, that would, you know, I'd want our listeners to understand as you think about this important conversation. That's the buzzword of the day. And what is AI and all this? What are the implications? Let's take a step back, take a breath, and ask, you know, what does it mean to be human? What's the distinction between humanity and technology? And why are humans different? It's because of the image of God.
Amen.
The second thing that I think helps us is just, you know, in relationships, in community, things you talked about. We treat people with respect. There's so much disrespect, anger, you know, separating from people because of political ideologies or other things today. We do share something in common and as humans, and that is, you know, regardless whether Muslim or Hindu or atheist or Jew or follower of Christ, we are all created in the image of God, and therefore we respect one another and treat one another with dignity and respect. And it is out of this, this is the foundation behind the teachings of Jesus, to love our enemies and bless those who curse us. And without this framework, the image of God, some of that teaching it doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
But in that larger context, then it all holds together.
Amen.
And even the passage that we mentioned earlier about murder in Genesis 9 and cursing in James chapter 3, that's grounded in the image of God.
Amen.
And then the image of God also understands maleness and femaleness, that we are not, we don't decide that we're male or female by how we're feeling today. It's not a psychological identity. It's a biological one that's tied to creation. And so these issues of sexuality, trans sexual issues, a lot of these gender confusion issue, sexual orientation, gender identity questions, a lot of these things. And then the abortion question.
Yes.
Why is a child that's not yet born, this in the womb of the mother, why is, do we think that's important? Because we know that it's been conceived and created in the image of God.
Yes.
And therefore that life is sacred. So all of these things touch on this doctrine, or to put it another way, this doctrine touches on all these things.
Yes.
Therefore, that's the reason that we consider these questions as so important for the life of the church and our relationship to society and culture.
Amen. Now, historically, would you say the church has been engaged on issues related to human dignity and the image of God?
I think that it's been so generally assumed.
Yes.
That there has been a kind of a widespread understanding, at least in Western culture, but even in some other cultures, but certainly in Western culture, of a Judeo-Christian framework of life that, you know, some honest atheists acknowledge that they piggyback on the Judeo-Christian worldview, even though they reject it, but they appreciate its implications for society. And so I think there's been this assumption. Some of the assumptions about all of us being created equal that we find in the Declaration of Independence and some of these other documents, which were authored by people who, you know, probably have a more deistic than full-fledged Christian understandings of life, nevertheless are working out of this Judeo-Christian framework. So I think it's been a framework that's been assumed, and therefore we have given certain appropriate dignity, understanding to one another.
Amen.
But once you begin to come out and actually reject that, which is now being done today, which it is no longer assumed, and people have a smorgasbord of worldviews.
Yes.
Pick and choose from New Age or some world religion or this and that. Now things don't make sense anymore. And so, you know, the subtitle of the book acknowledges that we live in a time of cultural confusion. And so we're trying to address it. So I think things have changed drastically in the 21st century.
Yes.
You started to see it at the last half of the 20th century, but the last 20, 25 years, we've seen a major shift, worldview shift in general for culture. Bears itself out now that almost 30% of the population identify themselves as nuns and religiously unaffiliated. And so it's not that they're necessarily opposed to religion. They just don't have a particular one. And so therefore they pick and choose a whole host of ideas, and the ideas they pick about humanity are most of them grounded in a more evolutionary framework than a creation framework. And so if we're here only by happenstance, without design, without purpose, and, you know, there is no image of God but to ground everything in.
Amen.
Then we treat people terribly, and murder rates are up, and abuse is up, and all of these things are tied to the lack of understanding of God's design for us as men and women created in his image.
Yes. As you noted a few moments ago, even some of the well-known atheists who talk about their atheism and their disdain for those of us who believe in the fantasy of God, a number of them have come out saying, you know, it actually is nicer to live in a world where people believe that there is a God and that their actions have consequence and that there's such a thing as right and wrong, and they need to try and avoid doing too many wrong things. And it's true. There is,
I appreciate their honesty. Yes.
Yeah. There is a desire to piggyback on that, because I had Peter Singer, the famed so-called ethicist from Princeton, on my show years ago. I wasn't sure on the front end how that was going to go, but it actually was a little like shooting fish in a barrel. But I mean, the man has, I think it was Francis Schaeffer who said, feet firmly planted in midair.
Midair, right.
You know, there's nothing to stand on. Ethics just become a matter of aesthetics. It's what I prefer. And so, you know, I asked him at one point in the conversation, based on what he said, if my conviction is the world would be a better place without you, why shouldn't I kill you? And the problem is, it's very hard not to have to resort to another argument. If you really believe that there is no transcendent truth, you've just, of course, asked people to believe in one, the one you just stated. You know, the whole thing falls apart, and that's what's happening in our culture. When a Supreme Court justice who is female cannot say what a woman is because, in her words, I'm not a biologist, you begin to realize we're living in idiocracy. We're living in a world where people are so determined to avoid facing the truth that they are willing to embrace lie after lie after lie after lie. And God's truth not only tells us that we're created in his image, but that having rebelled against him and fractured that image, if you will, he decided to save rather than destroy those who would put their trust in Jesus. What an amazing thing that God would do this.
Yes, indeed. You know, and it's important, if I could just add one thing quickly.
Yes.
That it is true that sin, as you said, has affected, tainted the image of God, but it's not, we've not lost the image of God.
Right.
So sin does have an effect upon us, but it's very important to say sin did not, we did not lose the image of God because of sin. I think you used the word cracked or something.
Fractured.
Fractured, thank you.
Yep.
Yes, it's fractured indeed, but not lost.
Right.
And therefore, regardless of a person, they may be totally depraved, but not totally corrupt, and the image of God is not abandoned, and therefore still worthy of dignity, and therefore there's still, if we understand that, there's a place for order and beauty in the world that gives us a structure in which to live.
By the way, I didn't kill Peter Singer.
Amen.
you know, but the reason is because I believe something about him that he doesn't believe about himself, and that is that he was created in the image of God.
That's so important.
Yeah. Was it Anthony Flew who, after years as a famous atheist, decided that he was wrong after he debated Michael Behe or some such person?
Yes, and acknowledged that he was at least a theist, you know, and we pray that in God's mercy he took other steps, but at least publicly he acknowledged that he was a theist before he died.
Yeah.
We pray that he was a full-fledged believer in Christ, but he never said that publicly, but still it's an amazing transition given that his whole life he fought against the idea that there was a God to come to that place near the end of his life and acknowledge theism is true.
Yes. Well, folks, the book is Created in the Image of God. It is edited by David Dockery and Lauren McAfee, and I want to recommend this to you. It has lots of wonderful material in it, a number of great contributors talking about what it means to be male and female and how to live faithfully in a culture of confusion, the sanctity of life. It is a wonderful book, Human Beings Created in and for Relationship. Folks, this is good material. You don't have to be a pastor to appreciate this. Dr. Dockery, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast with us.
Oh, thank you. I've enjoyed it so much, and I admire your work, and it's just a real honor for me to be with you today.
Bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.